Hey y'all, I'm Whitney Scarborough, the host of Wits End. Here we are real people asking hard questions. If you think you hear the hum of a fridge or a train in the background, it's because you probably are. We are recording these episodes from the comfort of my home in a small town called LaGrange, Texas. Some conversations are both heartbreaking and hopeful. Today, I am joined by Mary Moore, who shares her wisdom on building a 55-year marriage and opens up her heart about the darkest years of life. Let's dive in. Well, today I am thrilled to have Mary Moore. Mary, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad you're here. Mary, you're one of my, I think you're one of my first friends when we moved to LaGrange. I remember seeing you at our church, and I think you even maybe just, you reached out to me and called me and just said, I would like to be your friend. And it was just this wonderful gesture. It kind of just felt like old school in the best possible way. It wasn't it wasn't weird. It just felt like, wow, I just felt like I was seen and cared about by this woman. And I instantly wanted to get to know you. So just give us a glimpse of your life today. And what do you want us to know about you?
Well, today I'm really busy. My life today is really busy. I'm a retiree. I'm a senior citizen, but I'm just very, very busy, and I'm never, ever bored because I'm my husband and I are raising our 10-year-old granddaughter. And so my life is just wrapped up in stuff like, you know, in a way, like a young mom with school and getting her up and off in the morning and, you know, having family dinner at night and helping with homework.
And the worst.
So that's the worst. Yeah. So that's my life right now. So,
yeah, that's great. And you live here locally?
Yes.
In a little town called Ellinger.
Yeah. I'm a Houstonian, you know, deep down in my heart. I went all through Houston schools and went to the University of Houston, and I'm really a Houstonian, but we moved to Fayette County, Texas, about 26 years ago, and I absolutely love it. So I'm a retired elementary school teacher. I taught for 34 years in three districts in Texas public schools, and I miss it. I loved it. I loved my career. And I've been married for 55, it'll be 55 years this year to the same man.
Wow.
And we have two grown children, and we have our little granddaughter that lives with us. And then we have her half-sister, who is our step-granddaughter, and we love her very much. She's our granddaughter of the heart.
I love that.
So,
yeah, I love that. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're passionate about, Mary.
Well, right now I'm passionate. I knew Whitney was going to ask this question, and so I thought about it a lot. And so I'm almost 3/4 of a century old. And there have been, through my life, I've been passionate about a lot of different stuff. When I was a career lady, I was passionate about my career. Right now, I thought about this a lot. And I think the thing I'm most passionate about right now is life itself, because of this plague that we've just come through, but we're not even really through it yet.
Absolutely.
Just when we think we're through it, then they, you know, tell us there's another variant. But my husband and I are in the high risk category. And so, you know, for a while there, it was like walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. And but then, you know, you can't really live like that. And you just kind of just live your life. But I just feel like I've been so blessed to even be here because, you know, I'm still here. I'm still breathing. I still have my brain. And yesterday I read in the obituary of the local paper, a lady my age just died. And so right now I'm just passionate about getting up every morning and seeing what I'm going to do and taking care of Tyler and just living life to the fullest. Because I know, you know, that 4/4 of the century is coming up soon.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I'm passionate about right now.
I love it. Well, I know you've been married to Butch now for almost 55 years.
Yeah.
Like you just said, 55 years. That's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal.
That's a huge deal. That is older than I am. And that is older than many of our listeners. And so when you hear that 55 years, I mean, so many things come to mind. But one thing I'd love to just ask you is, what are some of the things that you have seen it takes to build a lasting marriage that stands the test of time?
Yeah. It's a big deal because we're still happy. I mean, we just really still love each other and we like each other a lot. I mean, he's my favorite human and he gets me, he gets me. And we are extremely different. And we had not been married very long when we noticed how different we were. When we fell in love, we were in love. And, we didn't stop and think about, I really, really love going to the theater. And Butch, can't even pronounce theater, So, he goes to the shooting range. And we realized after we were married just a little while that we were very, very different. But you know what? Those differences have mellowed over the years, and we appreciate those differences.
Wow.
So that's two reasons why it really is a big deal, because we don't have a whole lot in common, but we do have our values in common. We have the same values. And okay, so what'd you ask me how to build a marriage?
What would you say some of the wisdom of how to build a 55-year?
Okay, so first of all, choose wisely.
That's good.
Choose wisely. I chose a good man, and he was only 20 years old. I was 18. And I chose him. I mean, he was mature at 20, and he was, I trusted him before I fell in love with him. Mm. Before I loved him, I trusted him. Mm. And I still think that is one of the huge deals in marriage. You have to trust each other. Mm. That is so important. Trust. And, so choose wisely. Think about what is important. We had the same values. And one of the things he told me right away was I want to have a Christian marriage. Mm. And he would say that throughout our courtship, I want to have a Christian marriage. And so in the Bible, it says God will give us the desires of our heart. God will give you the desire of your heart. And I believe God gave us the desire of our heart, because I wanted a Christian marriage too, but I was too young and I was an airhead, and so I didn't articulate it the way he did. He was going, I really want a Christian marriage, and I was just going, oh, you are so cute, so that's the way that went. But then we also, I kind of serioused up a little bit before we got married, and we have always taken our marriage vows very seriously. I can remember us, thinking about that, in sickness and in health and till death, and divorce was never an option. We very early in our marriage, we said we don't have a plan B. Mm-hmm. We're going to stay married till death, and so we never said, well, if it doesn't work, because I've heard people say if it doesn't work out, we can always get a divorce, and we never said that, and that's a big deal because we were very young and very inexperienced. I went right from my parents' house to our apartment. He went right from his parents' house to his apartment. We had each had 1 year of college, but we were commuter students.
Yeah.
So we didn't even have the experience of going away to college.
Wow.
But so we were very young, but we always took our vows very seriously. Still do. I'm going to talk to women for a minute. Women, do not emasculate your man. Hmm. Marry a man and then do everything you can to keep him a man. Don't make him your little puppy dog. And I think it's very important to remember you married a man, hopefully a godly man, and he's going to be a man.
And you want him to be a man.
And you want him to be a man.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing that I've done through the years. And he told me one time, well, we had some friends that asked us about our marriage. And he said, well, Mary lets me do anything I want to do. Mm. Well, within reason. You know, I'll put that on it. But, you know, I don't say, well, no, you can't have a dog because it'll mess up my house.
I think that's so good. I remember before he got married, and somebody shared some wisdom with me and just said, you know, really be wise about how you guard the reputation of your husband. And that's not exactly what you're saying, but it's along the same lines too, of even just how you talk about him to the world. I think it doesn't just affect his reputation, but it actually does deeply affect your relationship. And so, that's been something that I've tried to really stick to, that even when I'm frustrated with him or, you know, having a hard time with him about something, that my first reaction is not to go speak negatively about him as a man. And if I do need to seek wisdom about a situation, that it's done in a safe, with a safe person, that's not, you know, blasting, his name in a way that would, you know, emasculate him and also cause him to feel, you know, like I don't have his back, you know?
Yeah.
So
you're absolutely right. That is just so important, that the world needs more men who will stand up and, you know, in when it's clutch time, you want a man. You don't want somebody that's your little servant.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Trust is so important. You have to trust each other, and you need to laugh together a lot.
Mm.
I mean, we, through our marriage, there have been times when we just crack up, just like falling on the floor laughing at something that happened that we could have taken very seriously, but we just laughed. I mean, we laughed when our kids were growing up. We laughed a lot with them, you know, and watching funny movies and stuff. And we laugh now a lot with our Tyler, our granddaughter. So laughing is very important, laughing together. And then I wish I could tell you, and I truly wish I could tell you, that since we were a Christian family, every decision was prefaced with prayer. I wish I could tell you that, but if I did, I'd be lying.
Mm-hmm.
We did not, over the course of our long marriage, we have not prayed about every decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to lie and tell you that we did. We did sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you what I think God has honored about our marriage and God has blessed about our marriage. We have been faithful to our church and to the group of Christian believers that we belong to in the different places where we've lived.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't said, well, we're moving to a new town, so let's lay out a church for about 3 months while we fix up the house.
Mm-hmm.
We got married on a Friday night, and Sunday we were at church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, partly that's because we were poor.
Mm-hmm.
We had no money. We were very poor, so we couldn't afford it. We never had a honeymoon. But that just set the pattern, and we've always been faithful. And if you're a member of a church, if you're a member of a body of believers, there's going to be times when you're going to get your feelings hurt, or you're going to get, you know, you're going to think, well, you know, that wasn't exactly right, or, but you stay faithful anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's not really the church you're being faithful to, it's God you're being faithful to. So there's that I believe God honored, and I also believe he honored the fact that we've always served. I started out the second year we were married. Somebody asked me to teach a Sunday school class, the little kids that sit in the little chairs, you know, that fold their little hands.
Yeah.
And so I taught that Sunday school class, and somebody asked him if he would go as a helper on some kind of a youth trip.
Mm.
And so that just kind of set the pattern. And I'm telling you, we have always served. For me, when I had my babies, I stayed home with the babies. But he just kept right on going, you know.
Yeah.
And we have had some of the most rewarding experiences of our lives in service to God's kingdom. And so I really believe God has honored those two things, even though we did a lot of stupid things in our marriage where we just said, oh yeah, we're going to buy that car. We can't afford it, but we're going to buy it, you know, and didn't pray about it and didn't, you know, didn't seek God's will in it. But that's what I believe God did honor is that we've been faithful.
That's good.
And you have to remember, if you are a Christian couple, you have to remember that we're a picture of the relationship between Jesus and His church.
Amen.
We're the bride of Christ, and so keeping that uppermost in our mind that we are a picture of the relationship that Jesus has with the church, that's been very important for us too. So so that's some things that we've done. And I don't talk about him behind his back, and he didn't talk about me behind my back. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell him that was not a real smart move more, you know, but I don't tell other people that.
Yeah.
So
going back to that, guarding his reputation.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. I love that, you know, your steadfastness in being committed to a local congregation, to being committed to the body of believers. And I think that's something that in my generation, that I'll just speak for us, I think I'm looking out and seeing that is a value that I think has become less and less emphasized. And I think that the pandemic has even kind of worn away, eroded it a little bit more as people, you know, as plans have become more up in the air, that's been one of the first things to go for some families. And I think there's a temptation for us and our family included, I think, for it to become something that you do. Another element of your, you know, social circle and your social activity. And but I love what you said, that is something that God's honored as you guys have been committed to being a part of the body of Christ and also serving in the body of Christ. Because I think, too, when you do serve, then that does add an extra layer of accountability that you're going to be there on Sunday and you're going to set that time aside. So that's such good wisdom. But I'd love for you to just take us to some of the harder seasons of your marriage. I know that you've been so just vulnerable and honest with me and shared that your marriage has not been easy. And there have been some times when you thought, we are not going to make it through this. And so I'd love for you just to take our audience through some of those harder seasons.
Okay. Well, the first... let me think. The first 7 years or 8 years, I guess, were just pretty blissful. You know, we were young, we were in love, we did fun things, and we didn't have children until we had been married 7 years. And we had our first child. You know, we were sailing along, doing great. And I lost my dad. My dad died when he was only 60 years old. And he was very sick, and he died over a period of it took him about 10 months. He became just sicker and sicker and sicker until he just wasted away to like weighing about 80 pounds. And and I was a daddy's girl. And so it took about 9 months for him to just, and the people told me, Dad, God's not going to let your daddy die. We're going to pray that he will do a miracle and your dad will live. Daddy died. And so my faith was really shaken. And then I just, after we buried daddy and, you know, reality and life sank back in, I didn't love anybody anymore except my mother, I wanted to spend all my time at my mother's house because she was by herself now. And my baby, we had our first child, was a toddler at that time. But as I said, we took our marriage vows very seriously. And so I told Butch, I said, there's something I have to tell you. I said, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to get a divorce because I don't want to raise this baby by myself. So, I just want to be honest with you that I don't love you, but I trust you and you're my best friend still. So could we just stay married, but not like man and wife? And he said, well, he said, I love you. And he said, we are going to stay married and we are going to be like man and wife. And he said, we're going to pray that God will give your love back to you. He said, you've been through a horrible experience and we're just going to pray that God will give your love back. And until then, we're going to just live like we've been living. We're going to raise our child and I'm going to love you and you don't have to love me. But we're going to be like man and wife. And I said, well, and he said, God's going to give back that love. And I said, well, okay. I don't see it. I'm not seeing it, but okay. So we stayed together and this would have been the time when he could have said, see ya, I'm out of here, you know. Because we were still in our 20s long story short, my love for him came back and it came back after, it took about 2 years, but he was very sweet and gentle and he never brought it up to me. Mm. He never threw it up in my face. We just went along, you know, and after about 2 years, not only did I love him again, but I loved him more than I had at first. And, you know, I look back on it now, and I probably should have gone for counseling, but this was in the early 70s, and people didn't go to counseling. Mm. People in our, I don't know, our strata, yeah, you know, of yeah. society didn't mm. go to counseling, you know, you just tough it out. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that was one of the trials and tribulations that that we had. And then, you know, then we got really busy. You know, we had another child, we had our daughter, and, you know, we're just busy. But we were really, really happy with each other. Really, really happy with each other.
We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is sponsored by Chip and Trina Rayburn at Premier Pools and Spas. What started as a small operation in Fayette County has grown, and today they serve much of Central Texas. They are wonderful people who run their business with integrity. We encourage you to consider Premier Pools and Spas if you are in the market for a backyard upgrade. And now, back to the conversation.
So we rocked along, you know, had a good marriage. We raised our kids we had our careers. He was a professional firefighter for the city of Houston. So one night, there's a very clear demarcation here of a line that began a time of testing in our lives, and I can tell you the date that it started. And so our children were grown, and so we got a call in the middle of the night. We were early 60s, but by this time, you know, and you're thinking, oh, you know, we're getting maybe close to retirement. You know, everything's rocking along really great. And it had been, I mean, it really had been. with, you know, with minor setbacks along the way. But so one night, middle of the night, we get a call. This is Austin EMS. We have your son. He has wrecked his motorcycle. And we are transporting him to the hospital in Round Rock. And I would suggest that if it's possible, you get there as soon as possible. Mm. So this was the moment that everything, it was Halloween weekend. And this was the moment that, you know, that I can say we began about a 10-year period of real, real bad, bad times. And his life was spared. He had a broken jaw. He was not wearing a helmet. His head landed on, hit the pavement. He had broken arm, broken leg. And so we rushed to the hospital praying the whole way that he would still be alive when we got there. And so this began this period that lasted about 10 years of bad times, really bad times. And they involved drugs. These times involved one of our children's suicide attempts. It involved the law. It involved rehabilitation. Just really, really, for 10 years, we were under the dark clouds. It was dark days, very dark days for us. And during that 10 years, our only grandchild was born, and that was a bright spot. But that was about the only bright spot. And we really had some choices to make, and they were, most of them were unconscious choices, because when things like that hit you, and when you are a believer in God, and for us it was even more than that, because we were believers. We believed that the Holy Spirit lived in us, and that Jesus was our Savior, and that Jesus had all the answers. And so you have a choice to make there, and the choice is, and are we gonna, you know, how are we gonna get through this, and are we going to blame God? Are we going to, what are we going to do? You know, are we going to? And so we went through a lot of soul searching. And what happened was, through this 10-year period, we grew closer to God. We grew stronger in our faith. And we grew closer to each other. And we grew closer to our children. But it was not without cost. We went through things that hurt. Just deeply hurt, and had to have conversations that were deeply affecting. You know, we went from day to day. By the way, no one died during this time. We didn't lose a child. Both of our children went through during this 10 years, went through divorce. And there were problems with the law. there were just some very, very dark days. And so if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you say that, you know, he lifts you up. He gives you strength. He's your all in all. We sing these songs. He's my all in all. And he's, you know, got everything I need. And then when you actually go through these things and you are at the bottom of the barrel, and then you think, is he really my all in all? Is he really the answer to everything? And I'm here to tell you, he really is. And we found out going through these problems that faith in God through Jesus Christ is really the only thing that counts. And it is the only thing that lasts. And it's the only thing that got us through about this. It went on for about 10 years. And I will tell you how bad it got for me. My husband is a stronger person than I am. But for me, I had recurring dreams where I was in a room that had a white tile floor, and I was laying face down, and I was just lifting my head and then beating my head against the tile floor over and over and over and over. And I finally sought Christian counseling, which was a very good thing. I had a friend that suggested I do that. And in fact, during that time, I spoke with two different Christian counselors, and they both helped me tremendously. And I prayed, and my prayers were so simple. I couldn't pray. I mean, really didn't even know what to pray for sometimes, and so my prayers would just be very, very, very simple, you know, just trying to get through the day. I think I said already that during that time, our only grandchild, still the only grandchild that we ever have, our only grandchild was born. And when she was four, we realized that we were going to be the ones to raise her. And we had to let go of some things. We had to let go of some things. I had retired from teaching the year that she was born. And so we had already, you know, been on some trips and planned some things that we were going to do. And so we gave up a lot of our dreams that we had dreamed about. But you know what? God replaced them. And she came to, when she came to us, she was four, and she was really had some problems. But our Christian family really lifted us up and was there for us. And so we went through a lot, and it caused us to really evaluate and say, you know what? We've been professing Christians all of our lives, practically, both of us. Is it really real? Are we really real, or are we just posers? And what we realized was it was really real. And God really does do what he says. And he really does love us. He loves us. And he loves us even when we are He loves us when we're down and out, you know, and he loves us even when we're, when we find it difficult to love him back because we're so broken and we're so hurting so badly. And so we, you know, we were in it, and we would think, well, you know, maybe next year will be better, and then next year was not better because it was a whole new set of things going on. But I think when I look back, there was not a clear demarcation line of when it ended, but I think I think it lasted about 10 years.
Wow.
About 10 years. And we just, when we came out of it, it was like, okay, so now we have a precious little 10-year-old girl that lives with us that we love very much. Not only that, but we gained, through this whole thing, we gained her half-sister, who is no biological relative. But she came and she lived with us for 5 years in the midst of all this. You know, we are called to do things for God that that seem impossible, and people look in on our life and they say, why are you doing this? Or how could God do this to you? Or I thought you believed in God, you know, and here you've got this little girl, and now you've got a 20-year-old that's kind of messed up in her head. But God was so faithful through it all. He was just faithful. And so here we were, you know, in our going through our 60s, when a lot of people think, man, it is going to be smooth sailing from here on. And we were not experiencing smooth sailing at all. We were experiencing storms, the real storms of life. But we think we're kind of on the other side now. I guess to conclude all this, you just never know what God is going to ask of you. And you just never know what God is going to put in front of you. And you just never know how he's going to reveal himself to you. One of the things that he did for me, which was so amazing, was he gave me a song right after we got this 4-year-old. One way that I could calm her down was by singing to her. And this song came to my mind that I hadn't sung in years. I mean, remember, at this time I'm in my 60s, you know, and I've been singing church songs all my life. So, but this song came to me that I hadn't heard in years. And it was in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing in your time. And I would sing that to her over and over and over again, and it would just lift me up. It was just kind of my testimony, because I knew that we were going through a bad time, but I knew that bad time at some point was going to end. And it did. Everybody concerned is now on a much more even keel. And I'm not going to say it's all perfect and rainbows and lollipops, but things are so much better now than we thought at one time we thought they could ever be. So that's a testimony that we can give to other people, that we can say, hey, you're going through a hard time, I'll tell you about a hard time.
Absolutely.
And here we are. We made it through and we learned some things. And there's some things that could not have happened unless we went through those deep waters and those dark days. And, you know, when you get, when you've lived a long life, a long Christian life, you kind of go, there's a time to take your finals, you know. Mm-hmm. You've had little exams and little pop tests all along the way, and then there's a time to take your finals. Mm. And who knows what's in store for us, you know? But
wow.
But he's brought us through this far, so.
Wow. Wow, Mary, I am truly speechless, and I'm really honored that you would just share in that way. I don't think many people as vulnerably allow their heart to open up in that way for the edification of and the building up of those who are listening, because I believe that there just may be somebody listening today who's in a really dark place and they're having a similar recurring dream and they feel very much like there is no hope. And so when I think of you, I think of joy and I think of strength. And to be honest, before this conversation, I really only knew of a fraction of what you just shared. And so I think it's interesting that I think that many people who know you would describe you in that way as well. And that those are true of you. They're not, those aren't things that you conjure up. You're not a woman who fakes joy and fakes strength, but you are a woman of joy and a woman of strength. And so you've really kind of answered the question I was going to ask you along these lines, but what would you say just to anybody who maybe is in a season of feeling incredibly weak and incredibly hopeless and without joy? What would you say?
Jesus is the answer. You know, and it, what it boils down to is, are you his or are you not his? And it's more than just the sweet by and by, you know, I belong to Jesus. And so when I die, I'll go to heaven. It's what happens here on the earth. You know, and our story of our hardships and our hurts is not uncommon. I mean, my goodness gracious, everybody I know has hurts and hardships and tragedy in their family, and Jesus really is the answer. I mean, he really is. And one of the good things about when you've gone through a period like we went through, and I'll be honest with you, I was not welcoming to all that most of the time when we were going through it. I was not like, oh, la-di-da. I mean, I was like, oh, how am I gonna get through this? Yeah. But when you go through it, then you come out on the other side and you can tell people what's really important. You know what's really important.
To find show notes for this and past episodes, or to engage on a deeper level, you can go to wovenministry.com/podcast. If you enjoy what you hear so far, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps listeners find and share this feed. If you'd like to tell us what you enjoyed about this podcast or ask your hard question, you can call us at 512-815-2446. That's 512-815-2446. You'll simply leave a voicemail with what's on your mind, and we might just include your voice on a future episode. Music and editing for the show is by Callan Brown. Recording and production by Tim Scarborough. I'm Whitney Scarborough, and we'll be back here with more very soon. Thanks for listening.